Accession number 27189, Reel 11.
Colonel Poulson, Reel 11. I think after being at Brigade North, you moved to command the 3rd Infantry Regiment. Where was that based?
It was placed here. The headquarters was there in Kongsberg. But when I left Brigade North, I had a short tour to the Allied High Command here in Norway, Kolsås, first for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then I was promoted colonel and was took over Combined Regiment number 3, or rather the real name, the Combined Regiment was a brigade. And I was brigade commander and second in command of the Telemark Infantry Regiment number 3, Vestre Oslofjord Forsvarsdistrikt number 3.
What were you doing at Kolsås? What was your appointment there and your work?
I was in the, what do you call it? The G3 staff.
G3?
Operation.
Operations.
But I was only for 2 months or 3 months. So it wasn't long.
What was going on in that branch of the staff when you were with it?
I don't really remember. I think we were evaluating a recent exercise.
How many of you were there on that branch of the staff? What was the size?
I don't remember. Mm. I don't remember. Mm. I was glad I got away.
You didn't like being on the staff?
No, I didn't.
Why not? What was wrong with it?
There was nothing wrong with the staff. Certainly not, but I've never liked big staff.
When you went to 3rd Brigade, what was in it? What was the order of battle?
The order of battle for the brigade was standard Norwegian brigade. Mm. 3 infantry battalions, artillery battalion, engineer, signal, and all the other things you need in the brigade.
How many men altogether do you think?
4,000.
Were they locally recruited?
No. One battalion was from Telemark, Vestfold. Another battalion was from one other county in Norway, and the third one too. And that was because if you took in peacetime, if you are going to have an exercise and you take 3 battalions from the same district, you make a hell of a lot of trouble for the civilian community.
You close the economy.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you find that each battalion had a distinct character in the way it behaved and thought about things?
Not so much if you have 3 battalions from the eastern part of Norway. Mm. But if you take a battalion from the eastern part and not from the west coast and so on, then you feel there is a difference. Mm. Quite a difference. Mm. I don't mean to say that one is much better than the other, but they are different in behavior. Mm.
Is this a matter of temperament and psychology?
Yes. Mm.
Mm. What were the main... carry on.
But you know, my brigade, when I took over the brigade, I had started on a large exercise going to take place in Westfold. And I was very lucky, you know, because when I was in charge, because I had been to the Brigade Nord, I knew what to do. I wasn't, I don't feel fit, felt lost. It was very easy for me to take over.
You were confident?
You were confident, yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah, and in that exercise, Blue Hill, I think, was the name of it, British Royal Marine Battalion was attached to my brigade. That was interesting.
How did they fit in with the Norwegian battalions? Were they able to work smoothly?
Yes, sure. Mm. But they had a problem, because this was in November, I think. Oh. It wasn't very cold, but it was cold. Mm. I had to borrow a lot of equipment from the Norwegian army, because of the climate. And they had problems because of they didn't have the right equipment, they didn't have the right training for that kind of operation. So I think back in England, they had to explain quite a lot of things, I believe. But the Royal Marines, after that, took it very seriously. And their training in Norway, I think, made them one of the best allied forces you could have for operating on the northern flank or in Falkland.
What was the form of the exercise? What were you actually doing?
As far as I remember, the enemy had landed in Westfold somewhere, and they were going to, and had advanced inland, and they were going to throw them out.
Who was playing the part of the enemy?
Norwegian, all the Norwegian units, schools, and so on.
What sort of terrain were you working on?
And if you've been in Westfold, you know how the terrain is. It's open, or it's covered by forest. You could operate with tanks in some places. In other places, it was infantryman on his 2 feet.
Did you have tanks involved in the exercise?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
What about aircraft? Was there any cooperation with the Air Force?
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
When they were acting with you, did they practice close air support, or were they practicing attacking in depth?
I don't think they had any close air support. No, I don't think they had
any. You were saying the Marines needed to borrow equipment. Was this What sort of equipment? Was it mainly the right sort of clothing? And
I beg your pardon?
When the Marines had to borrow equipment, what was it mainly?
It was tents, stoves, winter garments, and so on.
Yes.
You can't. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is in Norway. You can. Very often you can get winter conditions mm-hmm. in the middle of the summer if you're in the wrong place.
You always have to be prepared.
Pardon?
You always have to be prepared.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. How long did the exercise go on for?
A week, I think.
Do you remember what sort of distance you covered in the week when you were moving?
No, I don't remember. We didn't go very far.
Do you remember where the enemy was supposed to have landed for the exercise purpose?
No, I don't remember. Mm. They mixed it up in the number of exercises. Mm.
Now you just.
The main thing I was doing, like I said, Blue Hill, was the Royal Marines, and that I felt quite confident because I had been through it all in the brigade, including commanding the brigade.
You've described the way Brigade North headquarters was organised. What about your headquarters here with 3rd Brigade? Was it the same kind of setup?
Yes, more or less.
When that big exercise was over, what were you doing, you know, after that? What was the normal business of the brigade headquarters and of you as its commander?
The brigade headquarters was the mobilisation headquarters.
Yes.
So in the daily life at the headquarters of the Telemark Infantry Regiment, it was a peacetime headquarters, and the main object of Telemark Infantry Regiment was to produce all the units for the brigade and other units outside the regiment. It was opposite now, nailing. My main function was to prepare plans for war, defense plans and so on.
For the district?
For the district, mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you make any major changes to the plans?
I think so, yes, I think so.
How did you change them? What new things did you introduce?
We always discussed If we are attacked, will it be a sudden attack, or will we have any warning? A Norwegian brigade, mobilized brigade, you can mobilize it in 48 hours and so, and you can move it. But certainly if it had been a long time since they had their last exercise, the brigade was not a unit you could start off operations attacking. So it all depended on how long warning you had. But you had to coordinate to get the brigade to function properly. But I'm still amazed And I really think it was a marvelous thing. You could mobilize 4,000 or 5,000 men with all their paraphernalia and all the logistic you needed in a very short time, and you had an infrastructure. And I think that was amazing.
How often did you practice mobilization procedures?
Well, that was the great problem, you know. The battalions could be practiced at the time, but they, to mobilize the whole brigade, that didn't happen very often. Every 4 years or so.
What sort of...
But the headquarter company was called in.
Yes. Did you have command of the Home Guard in your area?
Yes, I had.
What were their functions?
Their function was to protect the mobilization depots, bridges, all that kind of which was important for the civilian and then the military. And afterwards, you could use them more or less as small units for guerrilla operations and so on.
What was their level of training?
It all depends on the områdescheferna. They weren't very well trained, you can say that. Some units were, some not, some of them were not. But they were functioning, and they would have been able to do it well. They had a week training in the easier or something else possible.
What about your reserves for the standing battalions? How much training did they get after they'd done their initial period?
A big one.
What about the reserves who would have gone into your mobilisation battalions? How much training did they get in a year?
They didn't get any training each year.
They didn't?
Not at all.
No.
They were called in... It's varied quite a lot because of Stortinget each year said how much money you would get for training.
It all depends on the budget.
It all depends, yes.
Did you have a budget for your district that you could use as you thought best?
Yes, not I as a brigade commander, but the commander of the regiment and the defence regiment, he had a budget.
Yes. What was your peacetime headquarters like then? You described the mobilisation headquarters. Mm. What was the peacetime headquarters, the planning headquarters like? Who was in that?
It was a very small... you had the commander, you had the second in command, you had the... three or four people, and the logistic people, and you had, and that was quite a large thing because all the equipment were to be taken care of. This year you had to take all the vehicles out to test them. If the vehicle stood for some year, a year or two, they would break down. and you got new equipment and you had to get rid of old equipment. That was quite the personnel to take personnel side, and the logistic side was the most important thing.
Yeah.
And then you had the brigade commander who did the defense planning.
Mm.
It was a very small headquarters.
Mm. Did you spend most of your time in your headquarters, or were you out visiting the battalions? What was your main priority?
I didn't quite get that.
Did you spend most of your time in your headquarters there, or did you go out visiting your battalions and other units? Was that the...
There wasn't any battalions in peacetime, you know.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they have headquarters in place?
No,
nothing.
They were all... they got mobilized in case of war.
Ah.
No headquarters.
Mm. What was going on at the political level while you were commanding? Were you getting a reasonable level of financial support from the Storting?
Well, yes, I think. But always in the army, I think you have the same in England. Quite a number of clever people are told to sit down and invent something new organization and what have you.
Mm.
And quite a lot of time was used on that instead of training and planning for war.
What sort of things were going on like that then when you were commanding the district?
Well, I don't remember. Mm. I mean, it happened, things happened before. Mm. I can't tell you.
Mm. Were your battalions primarily working on foot, or were they your infantry battalions? Were they intended to fight on foot, or were they motorized or mechanized?
They were not mechanized.
Mm.
They were going to fight on foot. Yes. Mm. All of them, but they had tracked vehicles to carry heavy weapons, to carry supplies and so on. But the companies had to use their 2 feet.
Yeah, 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right.
I think that was it. Was quite a good organization. Today they are carried into battle in vehicles, and that's good enough. But at least sometime you have to take the vehicles from them and let them try to fight on what they can carry, and they have to use their feet to move.
You can't really take vehicles into woods or into mountains.
No, you can't.
Mm.
Mm. I think you're making a great mistake today.
Mm.
At least in mountainous country, or for the countries kept covered with forests.
What sort of vehicles did they have? Did they have the weasel to carry their heavy weapons?
In my time, the weasel was out. We have got a new Swedish... you call it a Volvo, don't you?
Yeah. Mm.
They could be used on snow, and they could be used on Blacksod operation.
What about your artillery? Was that towed artillery, or was it self-propelled by this stage?
I think the only self-propelled artillery was in up north. We had the cloud artillery.
Mm. Was that the 105?
I believe, yes.
Mm. Mm. Did you have the system of attaching batteries to particular battalions as a normal...
No.
You didn't?
No.
Mm. I think this was your last appointment in the army, running the district and the brigade. Did you have plans for what to do when you left the army?
Yes. We have been talking about my time as a second in command of the defense directive.
Yes.
But then my last commanding officer left. I took over, so I had 2 years as in charge of the district.
Ah.
And I left the army before I had to leave, because it was quite a lot of changes, and I didn't like them, so I retired.
What were the changes you didn't like?
All this new thing about the personnel policy, I think, I didn't like. And the way everything had to be paid for. In my opinion, an officer, he was on duty 24 hours a day. If he was doing his job, he couldn't go home. If he had troops in his command, he couldn't go home at 4 o'clock if he hadn't finished his work. And suddenly, all the time you had after 4 o'clock was going to be paid for. Yeah. Quite a lot of things like that, and I didn't like it. And I found out I will retire and do things I had looked forward to do.
What was the personnel policy then? Was it just the business of making it? You mentioned the personnel policy. Was it that you felt that the army was becoming more like a civilian organization?
Yes. Yes. Everything was... the main thing was money. Pay. Mm. I didn't like it.
Mm. When you became a civilian, did you find it difficult to adjust to civilian life?
Well, sometimes I was longing back to, but that didn't bother me much. No.
What did you do then when you became a civilian? What had you been looking forward to so much?
Well, you know, I had a farm up at Mösland, a large piece of real estate in the mountains. Mm. I had this house. Yeah. I had a small hut at the coast. And I wanted to be able to use this properly and take care of it and so on.
Looking back, what do you think are the main advantages of a military life? What does it bring you?
It was very important, and I liked it. I liked the comradeship. Mm. I think in the military you have a high standard of morale?
Yes. High standard of behaviour.
Yes. Mm. And it suited me. Mm.